fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Okay, 2 weeks in the books. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath. Guys, how was week two for you guys? I hope it was better than it was for me.
I still haven't rounded it up, but I know I beat Jamie in the IDP league that we're in together, so very excited.
Oh, I'm 2-0 in IDP. I love IDP. It is probably the best
winning
format. Yeah.
I mean, such a clown.
Yes. well, hello to Dave and Jamie. Heath, hello again. We talked yesterday. It was great.
Yes, we did. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Today we're going to go through the obviously the waiver wire here. Last week it was wide receiver heavy. This week it will be running back heavy. So you know what? Let's just get right to it. Give me your top three waiver wire priorities this week. Go, Jamie. You start.
Jerry McKinnon, Fozzie Whitaker, and Dwayne Washington.
Okay, okay. Heath, how about you? Top three.
Yeah, I really hate all of these situations. I didn't really realize it until I started doing week three rankings, and I was like, man, I'm not sure that Jerick McKinnon is going to get more than 10 or 12 touches.
He'll get more than 10 or 12 touches.
I hope he gets more
than 10 or 12 touches. We all hope he does. We all know that he's better than Matt Asiata, but they seem to trust Asiata.
Asiata.
It doesn't matter.
You say Asiata.
But I'll give some guys that are different from those guys. I'm pretty interested in picking up Kenyon Drake in deeper leagues.
Okay.
And I'm probably as excited about Washington as I am Whitaker or McKinnon, because I think it sounds like Abdullah's injury might not be good at all. And he's going to get the goal line work and a lot of carries.
Dave.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. It depends on what you need more than anything else. I think McKinnon is still the one who's the most exciting. I think he's got the most upside. But I love the idea of stashing Kenyon Drake because I don't have a lot of hope for Jay Ajayi. But if I need a running back for week three and he's going to be the guy potentially getting the most touches against the Cleveland Browns, I will go after Jay Ajayi just for week three. But to me, Drake is the one who I think has the most long-term appeal. Washington could score. He's interesting. I think Shane Vereen is actually interesting because if Rashad Jennings' wrist is hurt, he can't pummel you, and you can go with Shane Vereen as a possible low-end number two running back this week. But there's a lot to go through. And that's before we even get to the wide receivers.
Right.
Devontae Parker is the thing.
Yeah.
Well, we said the name like 15 times on yesterday's podcast, but since we're saying top priorities, we should probably say Dennis Pitta.
Dennis Pitta is Jamie's number one tight end in the waiver wire column this week. So,
and I credit Heath for his call last week.
He's only 11% owned. Will you?
Nobody else listened. It helped too many people out.
Yeah. Well, now they will. Will you drop Kobe Fleener for Dennis Pitta?
Yes.
Yep.
I didn't draft Kobe Fleener in many leagues.
And so. The ones that you did, would you drop him for Fleener for Pitta?
Yeah, I think so.
Which means that this is the week that Kobe
I'll tell you what, though. If I could carry two, I would try and carry two. Just to see.
Jamie, I'm disappointed that you would drop Fleener for Pitta.
If you want to be, if I should be true to myself, you remember my man crush on Pitta.
That's true. That's true. He was Fleener before Fleener.
Right.
Somebody sent me a tweet this morning, and I think Heath, you were on it too, and compared Fleener to Brandon Cooks last year. And look at what Cooks did in his first four games last year. 4 points, 6 points, 7 points, and 2 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Didn't have more than 7 catches in any of those games. Obviously did not score a touchdown. And obviously he finished really strong. So I do think people are going to be confronted this week with the question of how much stock do I put into the first 2 weeks? It's a very difficult thing. I don't want to give up on somebody that I was really high on after two bad weeks.
Sure, and Ben Watson didn't get off to a great start with the Saints last year either. Remember, we were still trying to figure out if Josh Hill was going to be their guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about Fleener is the targets were there this week. He just didn't deliver. So it's another great matchup, and it's at home. It's a high-scoring game.
I think Pitt, I mean, we'll talk about it more when we get to tight ends, but I think Pitt is the only guy on the list that I would definitely drop Fleener for.
Yes, definitely, for sure. The thing about, like I wrote in the column, the way I phrase it was, I'm still holding on to him, but I understand if you're ready to move on.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you can't go 2 straight weeks of getting a donut at your tight end spot. Like I went in I don't actually have Fleener in a lot of leagues because Adam stole him from me in most of them. But
thanks, Adam.
You're welcome,
buddy. In the two leagues where I have him, I went 1-1 in both, and may have won the one I lost had I had a tight end producing, you know, 7-8 points.
How much fab for Jerick McKinnon? What percent of your free agent acquisition budget would you use on Jerick McKinnon?
Do I have Adrian Peterson?
Let's say no.
Then it's not going to be a lot.
I said 20% in the column.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably going to miss him. I 15.
But if you've got Adrian Peterson and you don't have McKinnon and somehow he's on your waiver wire, you've got to go over 20%. And you have to make sure you get him.
To be clear, I'm not trying to poo-poo on Jerick McKinnon's talent. I think there's a lot of excitement there. It's just that their blocking has been so bad. And when Peterson's been out, I mean, week one, McKinnon didn't even get the ball.
Yeah, I think, though, I said this to Adam yesterday when we were talking about this, that I wonder if Norv Turner, just as a play caller, might enjoy this more than having to force feed Peterson. Because you have to feed Peterson. But McKinnon can do so many different things.
Right.
He can get out in space. You could throw him the ball a little bit differently, and then you throw the ball to Peterson. He's just a different kind of running back. And so, like, Asiata is more Peterson than McKinnon is more Peterson. Just because he's a guy that's going to be more physical between the tackles.
Right. I don't think either guy is Adrian Peterson.
Obviously not. No. But
I think Matt Asiata is Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
If you just look at it like from a play caller standpoint, you can be more flexible with McKinnon back there because he's the dual threat guy that where Peterson is, but just not to the same level of what they can do with his route running.
Do you like the idea if you've got the top waiver claim of going after McKinnon and then trying to trade him?
100%, or the same thing that we were talking about with Ware and Charles, tried to trade for Peterson because
his stock has plummeted.
As of now, we don't know how long he's going to be out. If he has, I was reading some stuff from some, you know, former doctors that said if he has the full surgery, it could be 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, you know, because again, right now we're in an uncertain period. If you get him cheap, take the risk and try and get him cheap.
Do you want to know the trade offer I got on Sunday night? Actually, I was offered.
You have Peterson?
No, I was offered Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, and Michael Crabtree in a PPR league. Three useful players, Peterson, Gore, and Crabtree, for Melvin Gordon.
Oh, why wouldn't you do that?
I didn't do it because I don't
Are you
like
crazy?
I don't like Adrian Peterson. I refuse to have him on any fantasy teams. I don't want to root for him. But when I responded to the email or to the trade offer, I said, ordinarily I would take this, but I am morally opposed to having Adrian Peterson on.
You could have done that trade and then flipped Peterson.
I just didn't want to deal with it.
Do you have a full list or is it just Adrian Peterson?
It's pretty much just Adrian Peterson, and I wouldn't own Greg Hardy. Oh, no, Josh Brown. I won't have Josh Brown on my team either.
Do you have a need for two of those guys at all? Let me ask this.
A good trade for me, no doubt.
Are you starting Melvin Gordon in any leagues, like, consistently prior to this week?
Well, that's my Jamal Charles league, so I don't honestly.
Oh God, carrying Charles and Peterson.
Whew. Right, I couldn't do that. Yeah, that'd be tough for me.
Yeah, but you could start Frank Gore this week and feel great about it.
I'm never gonna feel great starting Frank Gore.
Come on,
you see that
agility
again
on that touchdown?
All right, that's actually pretty nice. 20% of your budget on Peterson. How much for, let's say, Fozzie Whitaker? How much for Kenyon Drake?
Less than 5%.
I put 15 for Whitaker, and this is up to 15. 15% for Whitaker. And 5% or less for Drake.
Are you sure Whitaker is going to be the guy?
I'm sure Whitaker is going to be their dual threat guy. It could be the same situation like in Minnesota.
Because last year,
where Artis Payne will be the one working.
Right, running downs. And then
I don't know working running downs. I think working goal line and some running downs.
That's the bad thing about this whole mess is we didn't gain a feature back, I don't feel like, anywhere.
Except for Charles Sims.
Yeah,
there. We got a bunch, which nobody wants to have feature backs anymore, apparently. Darren Sproles getting more carries than Ryan Matthews for the first three quarters of the game.
Right. They don't care about our fantasy team.
No, not at all.
Why not?
But I think Whitaker has as good a chance as anybody to get 15 touches a game.
Yes. I think Whitaker and McKinnon are the same, and I think Asiata and Artis Payne are the same.
Yeah.
I like Artis Payne better.
So it's
yeah.
To sum it up, we'll talk about that. But to sum it up now before we get a little bit more in depth later, it was setting up to be a really exciting running back waiver wire day. After Peterson, he hasn't even been ruled out for this week.
He's not playing this week.
He's probably not. Doug Martin, we still don't know the injury, and plus that's Charles Sims. It's probably not that great of a running back waiver wire week, right? Don't go crazy.
That's why, you know, you would typically see torn meniscus for a running back of Peterson's caliber, and everybody would go run to pick up his backup and spend 50% of their fab budget. Don't do it with this situation.
Why?
Because if he was out for the season, it's a different story.
Okay, because we just don't know the time.
And look, if he's out 3 months, that's a different story. Then you go spend a lot of money.
I'm thinking if I've got Peterson and I don't have McKinnon, I've got to go 30%.
But that's a different scenario because that's one owner. There's 11 other owners in every league that could be looking at McKinnon.
Right, but I don't think they're going to spend as much for him.
No, your point is right that they're the Adrian Peterson owner, but you're still competing with that person that may think, okay, well, it's cloudy. There's, you know, you hear 60, 30, 60, 40, 65, 35. Who knows what the split's going to be? And well, maybe I can get him for 30%. Whereas, you know, you're saying spend more than that.
I will say that if you miss all those guys on Fab and you just want to pick up Jordan Howard at the end.
Yep.
He looked good last night in the little work he got.
And his time is coming.
Yeah. Langford's fumble wasn't good. Langford didn't even start. Kadeem Carey got the first carry.
The coaches didn't like what Langford did in week one.
No.
Well, he did. He was bad.
The one thing that saves Langford is even after he fumbled and Howard came on and had three carries for 22 yards, Langford was back in there on a third down for pass protection.
Right.
So that will save him a little bit.
Okay. Let me just add one thing to this McKinnon thing. If you believe, because Mike Zimmer's like, oh yeah, he might play this week. And we saw Peterson was in so much pain, couldn't even walk, had to be helped off the field, had to be helped into the locker room. If you're just not really believing it and you think he's going to be out for a while, and I'm part of me feels that way, maybe like 40% of me feels that he's going to be out for a long time, then McKinnon is going to be worth it because I think he'll outperform Asiata. He'll eventually get that fantasy production, and I think he'll do good things.
You think he'll outperform what Peterson was doing in the first week and a half?
In the first two games, yes. Yes, I do.
They'll throw him the ball more.
Yeah, they will.
But they do throw to Asiata, too.
Asiata's got more receptions than McKinnon, right?
The story that I read from the Minneapolis Star Tribune is both guys will play on passing downs because Asiata is better in pass protection. So as a result of that, he'll catch passes out of the backfield. But I think McKinnon, as we saw last year, had 30 catch potential, or had 30 catches, and has the chance to be, I think, more dynamic in that regard.
There's no doubt about that.
All right. All right. So
we'll get to it. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we got plenty of time. The agony of defeat, guys. Here are some tweets and emails. Brett Lauren Tins. I just lost all three of my fantasy leagues by less than 3 points tonight. Every one of them lost by less than 3 points.
Ugh.
That sucks. Corey K., heartbreaking fantasy loss. I lost by 0.36 when Matthews lost 4 on the last run of the game, or on his last run. That's bad.
Brutal.
That's bad. Yeah.
I had a buddy call me today. It's his birthday today, and happy birthday, Brian Klein. He lost by 0.52 fantasy points in one game.
Oh. That's bad.
Like, I don't know. How do you recover from that?
So, wait. It's his birthday and he called you?
I called him.
Oh, I called him.
Ah, that's nice, Dave. Didn't call me on my birthday. This is from Juan.
I don't even know when your birthday is.
Obviously, it's in June. I went into Monday night down by 9. I needed 10 from Langford to win. He put me up by 1 going into the fourth quarter, and then he fumbled, and I lost by 1.
Man.
That sucks.
Brutal.
And I, Adam Azer, lost to Chris Towers by 3, and to that rascal Dave Richard by 1 fantasy point in our
Which PPR
FFT.
We were
I gotta check that out.
Dave and I were talking about this before the podcast, and we need a name for this type of scenario. In our FFT league, I am now 0-2 and the highest scoring team in the league. We need something to call that.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe the listeners can help us out.
They'll send something in.
Yeah. They're always better at that than we are. Philadelphia 29, Chicago 14, in a game as bad as we thought it would be. The Eagles really dominated. They had the ball for 36 minutes and 5 seconds. The Bears for 23:55. And all right, give me your takeaways, guys. Start with the Eagles. Dave, what are your thoughts?
Carson Wentz was the poster boy for rookie quarterbacks on this night. And I know John Gruden was waxing poetic about him, but even with the offensive line in front of him, I still think once he gets in front of a tough defense, he could really struggle quite a bit. I wouldn't buy into him. Two quarterback leagues, you want to carry him on your bench, that's fine. Disappointed that Jordan Matthews couldn't find the end zone, but that's the type of game you're going to get from him when he doesn't. I have no idea what they're thinking with Darren Sproles getting more touches than Ryan Matthews. And I'm glad Ryan Matthews had 2 touchdowns for everybody that started him.
Right.
I'm happy for it, but the easy part of the schedule is over for Philadelphia. They've got Pittsburgh in week three, then a bye. At Detroit in week five, they should probably be okay then. At Washington in week six, all right, maybe that'll be fine. And then after that, they've got that string of games where they're going up against tough defenses, tougher-ish defenses that are coming off of a bye. I would sell high on your Eagles if you can.
Okay. Jordan Matthews, though, he did drop a touchdown, 35-yard touchdown.
He pulled an Odell.
So, look, he could have had two really good games right now. He did pull an Odell.
I mean, you know, 6 for 71 isn't awful.
No, but would you rather have rest of season? Let's see, Jordan Matthews. Well, I keep going to this guy, but I think he's relevant. Or Michael Floyd.
Matthews. Floyd is a great buy low candidate.
Yeah, I'll take Floyd still.
Heath?
Matthews.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about Jordan Matthews or Willie Snead?
Oh, Snead.
Really?
Been productive. I worried about the touchdown staying there for Snead, but the catches and the yardage are going to remain.
Okay. All right, let's go over to the Bears now. Do you think with Jay Cutler's injury, he hurt his thumb, could miss some time. Do you think that will be bad for Alshon Jeffrey?
I've downgraded him a little bit for week two. I had him pretty much had him 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere in there, and now he's down in the mid-teens.
He's barely a number two receiver for me.
Well, I mean, Hoyer's done it for Hopkins, you know? I mean...
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's a major
and
downgrade.
And Gordon, right?
I don't think it's a downgrade at all.
Okay.
I think it's going to be bad.
All right, anything else
from
the Bears?
Not this week against Dallas.
You ready to drop Kevin White?
Yeah.
Yes.
Eddie
Royal has been outperforming him.
They're really trying to get him involved.
He's Tavon Austin with an extra 6 inches of height. And wow. An extra.
No, he's got 6 yards per target. That's like 6 times as good as Tavon Austin.
Well, this, if anything, you know, this Cutler injury, maybe it doesn't hurt Alshon, but it probably hurts Kevin White. It's hard to imagine Hoyer sustaining 2 wide receivers, right? Fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I can understand dropping Kevin White, but I'm not giving up on him.
Hey, Trey Burton. I like Trey Burton. I think, you know, he was a good player at UF, and undrafted free agent, but had a good game yesterday. 7 targets, 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. He's in the waiver wire, you know, portion of this for tight ends, so we'll talk about him. Obviously, Burton would be behind Pitt, all right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to lose his role when Ertz comes back.
Right,
so.
Right. There's that. So you think it's realistic for Ertz to come back after the bye? So Pittsburgh, then a bye, then at Detroit. Maybe we'll see Ertz then?
I would imagine by sure it's then. He may come back sooner than that.
Okay, great. Well, people out there, have you tried Blue Apron yet? We're giving you 3 free meals if you sign up at blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. blueapron.com/FFT for 3 free meals. Have you ever turned down free food before? Dave, how crazy would that be?
It would be like starting a kicker at quarterback and a punter at running back and just not even setting your lineup and all that stuff. Yeah, it'd be dumb.
Well, that might not be so bad for like the Russell Wilson owner. But anyway, yeah, I didn't think you'd turn down free food. So check out this week's menu. Get free shipping and your first three meals free at blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron wants to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. You're going to get high quality, pre-portioned ingredients shipped right to your door. You get exactly what you need. You don't waste food. You're going to get easy, detailed cooking instructions, and you're going to get great food. Last night, I made this all by myself.
I'm going to guess. You had peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, you wish. Maybe before Blue Apron, I had peanut butter and jelly. Last night, I had Korean pork tacos with red cabbage slaw. Tonight, it'll be blackened chicken with zucchini rice, corn, and cherry tomatoes. Later in the week, brown butter and thyme gnocchi. When do you get to eat stuff like that? Creative meals, healthy meals, delicious meals that cost less than $10 per meal. I am a Blue Apron believer now. I use it every single week. I love it. 3 free meals, free shipping, blueapron.com/FFT. Again, blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Here are your news and notes. There are a lot of them. At quarterback, Jay Cutler, injured thumb. They're at Dallas this week. Andy Dalton, ankle injury. Do we expect him to play against Denver?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dalton should play. Josh McCown could miss multiple weeks with a shoulder injury. I know they haven't been too impressive, and God, they were miserable against the Patriots, but the Dolphins DST might be one of my high waiver wire priorities this week, guys, against Cody Kessler.
Yes.
Third favorite streamer.
Okay. Behind
third
who?
Favorite streamer.
Third
yeah.
favorite. Wow. They're your first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're mine too.
Heath, who you got ahead of them?
The Giants.
Against the Skins?
Against the Skins. And Tampa Bay against the Rams traveling across the country.
Okay. And Chip Kelly sticking with Blaine Gabbert for now. They're at Seattle, so might not be much longer. Running backs, the updates. Adrian Peterson. So torn meniscus has not been ruled out this week. We think it's very unlikely. They're at Carolina. Then the this is actually a tough slate. At Carolina, the Giants have had a good run defense so far, and then Houston, and then a bye. So keep that in mind.
So maybe he comes back after the bye. Maybe it's not as bad as it could be, which is the three-month span, but maybe it's a month.
Danny Woodhead, out for the year with a torn ACL. All right, we haven't talked about this situation yet. What do you think happens where do they play? San Diego.
For now. Hopefully they stay there.
Yeah.
I think Melvin Gordon becomes an every down back. I think they've got Kenneth Farrow. Maybe he picks up a few reps. Andre Williams, remember him from the Giants, Adam? You have fond memories of Andre Williams?
Yeah, very fond.
Yeah, I have fond memories of him from Boston College. He's the guy behind them. I would imagine that Farrow would get on the field before Williams. They might add somebody along the way here, but Melvin Gordon looks like he's going to be one of those running backs that evolves into a heavy workload guy.
Yeah, top 12 back rest of season.
Rest of season, Melvin Gordon, Eddie Lacy.
Melvin.
Wow. I'll still take Lacy.
I think I have Melvin higher in the trade chart, so I would say Melvin.
Okay. Rest of season, Melvin Gordon or LeSean McCoy?
Still Shady.
McCoy.
Shady.
Okay. I think good buy low opportunity there on McCoy, by the way. People seem to be pretty down on him, except for you guys.
They're down on all the Bills because of what's going on there.
Doug Martin having his hamstring evaluated. Do we have any timetable for Martin?
MRI is coming. No results yet.
Thomas Rawls, leg contusion. Do you expect him to play?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
I expect him to play.
So Amir Abdullah, Jonathan Stewart. Are these the... Who do you think has a longer-term injury? Amir Abdullah, Jonathan Stewart. I'm sorry to make you play doctor, but what do you think?
I'm going to go with Abdullah.
Yep.
Because he's seeing the specialist. He's got to fly to North Carolina is where Dr. Anderson is.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually a precursor to a pretty serious injury. Whereas Ron Rivera has already talked about his running backs, and he says Stu's going to miss a week or two. For Jonathan Stewart, that probably means about 3 weeks. So they've got Minnesota, then at Atlanta, then Tampa Bay at home. Maybe if we're lucky, he's back in time for week six at New Orleans.
Okay. Arian Foster day-to-day with a groin injury. I still think that you talked about Kenyon Drake, Heath. I still think that's a good situation to look at on waivers. Ajayi is available in about 40% of leagues. Drake is widely available. And I personally don't trust Arian Foster to stay healthy or perform. What's your take on the Dolphins right now?
I don't trust Arian Foster to stay healthy. I don't trust Jay Ajayi to stay healthy or perform. So that's why I said I'm excited about picking up Drake. But Ajayi could be a very good play this week.
They also talked about Damien Williams being active again and maybe Isaiah Pete playing. So just use caution when looking at the Dolphins.
Foster, I guess we should give him a little bit of leeway. He's had some difficult matchups to start the season. Rashad Jennings will be limited in practice due to a hand injury. And Jamal Charles, not a certainty to play this week. What do you guys expect? Jamal Charles in or out against the Jets?
Sounds like out.
Yep, Andy Reid wouldn't commit to him. And even if he plays, it could be a very small role just to get his feet wet.
Yeah, I think it's a small role against a terrible matchup.
Jets and then at Pittsburgh, two good run defenses in a row. And
right,
a
and then a bye after that, Adam.
But it gets nice.
Yes.
At
I think
Oakland.
That's what they're waiting for.
At Oakland, New Orleans, at Indianapolis, and Jacksonville after the bye for Kansas City. And Green Bay wants to get Eddie Lacy and James Starks more involved. We'll probably talk more about that tomorrow. And do you expect Chris Ivory against Baltimore?
I don't know what to say here because I want to see him practice first. I think if he goes through practice all week, he'll be back. And T.J. Yeldon didn't do himself any favors at San Diego.
Right. Do you think Chris Ivory could end up being a winner as Yeldon has really struggled 2 weeks in a row?
But is he the type of guy that's going to overcome bad blocking?
Yeah, I don't think this is all Yeldon's fault in the running game. The blocking's been terrible.
Okay.
Like, he's not the same, like McKinnon can make plays in space.
Can Ivory do that?
I think he can.
I just don't think it's as prolific as McKinnon. He's not as fast.
The potential, yeah.
Okay, guys. Wide receiver news. Dante Moncrief is going to have an MRI on his shoulder. So we haven't talked about Philip Dorsett, but this could be a pretty hot pickup this week. He's about 55, 56% owned. Jamie, your take there on what? Boy, your lottery tickets are looking good this week. McKinnon, Dorsett, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly in the mix. You know, it's just a matter of how long will Moncrief miss. So if Moncrief is going to miss weeks, then Dorsett's a high priority. If he's just going to miss this week, then I think you put Moncrief in the same discussion as Devontae Parker and Tyrell Williams and, you know, some of these other guys, Victor Cruz.
Moncrief and the Colts have San Diego at Jacksonville, the Bears, and at Houston. So not bad going forward. MRI on Doug Baldwin's knee came back negative. Do you expect him to play?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
And Brandon Marshall.
Him and Tyler Lockett both had knee injuries in the game Sunday.
Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, they're banged up. Do you expect them to play?
Also, yes.
Marshall sounded pessimistic when asked about it yesterday, but he says he expects to play.
Okay. Virgil Green strained his calf. And Rob Gronkowski, do you expect Gronk to play? It's Thursday, short week against Houston.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean,
but we said it last week, and he ended up not playing. Like, it's not a short week for him.
I think what it was is he was nervous about Garoppolo going into week one. He's like, I don't know about this guy. Then he liked what he saw. He's like, okay, I think I could go. But we'll just give it another week. We could beat the Dolphins at home.
Right, because it's a short week.
And now he's looking at it and going, oh, man, do I want to go out there? I mean, they've bought themselves the leeway that they need to get him 100% because they got off to the 2-0 start. So you just wonder if, okay, let's get through the short week. We have 10 days to be ready. Maybe Garoppolo's back for week four against the Bills, who we
and
typically
they just
beat
eat
up.
A loss here? Is that what you're thinking?
I don't know if they eat
win.
A loss. I mean, we thought they were going to lose to Arizona.
Right, I know. That's what I was going to say.
And
they're underdogs. I'm actually a little surprised. 2.5-point underdogs. Home
I like Houston.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see if Houston's for real. Put up or shut up.
Can you imagine if they win this game?
If the Patriots win?
Yeah, just give them home field in the AFC at this point.
Crazy. All right, other news. DeMarcus Ware out 4 to 5 weeks with a fractured forearm. San Diego safety Jahlil Adai is going to be out for a while with a broken clavicle. Green Bay defensive tackle LaTroy Guyon has a sprained MCL. He might only miss one game because Green Bay has a bye in week four, but he'll miss the Detroit game. And the Lions are really beat up. I mean, the Packers have got to show up this week. The Lions, DeAndre Levy might miss the season. Ziggy Ansah, he's hurt. Kyle Van Noy and Antoine Williams, a couple linebackers, they're hurt. I mean, this is a show-me-something week for the Packers, right?
And yes. They're at home.
Yes.
And it's before their bye.
You can't
so.
Discount two straight road games to open an NFL season. That was, as you know, we talked about their schedule being great. This was tough, especially going to Minnesota week two. So Jacksonville had all this time to prepare for them, and then they got to go into the Vikings' home building opener.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
And Kedrick Golston, a defensive tackle for the Redskins, he's on IR with a knee injury. It's Team Name Tuesday. I'm going to tell you right now, the team names were not great this Tuesday. They really weren't. We need people to step it up a little bit. And actually, some of them are very funny, but inappropriate. I can't read them on the air, so keep that in mind. But Matt from a town in Southern California, Dave?
God, are there towns that are known in Southern California? I feel like...
You tell me.
Palm
Springs.
Yeah, but that's kind of out east.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
It's not really Southern.
Indio.
Studio City.
Indigo.
Television City.
considering he has Kelvin Benjamin and Travis, it's all about the Benjamins.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one.
Fine. Team Name Tuesday from Humphrey. He's particularly relevant to me, Adam. Car full of girlies.
Nice.
He's got
nice.
Car fuller and girly. That's good.
Car fuller girlies. Good.
Yeah. Oh, is it full? Yeah. Oh, he said full of, but it could be fuller. That would work too. All right. That's all I have for Team Name Tuesday. Waivers. Quarterbacks. We'll start with them. Cutler, Garoppolo, McCown, Dalton. We expect Dalton to play though. They're all injured. So Ryan Tannehill has Cleveland. He's 48% owned, 26 fantasy points in week two, in a comeback effort. We should note that. Joe Flacco, 20 fantasy points in week two after 14 in week one. He's at Jacksonville this week, then Oakland, then Washington. Then at the Giants, so nice upcoming schedule for the Ravens. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 52% owned at Kansas City, then Seattle, then at Pittsburgh, then at Arizona. The Jets have a gauntlet coming up. And Sam Bradford's been playing very well, played well Sunday. 23 fantasy points in his first game as a Viking at Carolina, then the Giants, then Houston, then a bye. All right, Tannehill, Flacco, Fitzpatrick, Bradford, Jamie, how do you frame these four quarterbacks?
In that order. Tannehill is the best streaming quarterback you could find this week with his matchup against Cleveland, especially now that Parker's back and looked like he's the guy that we hoped he would be. All his receivers look great in that game last week, and look at what Cleveland has faced the first 2 weeks. Carson Wentz and Joe Flacco in consecutive games, at least 275 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. So this is the home opener for the Dolphins. I think they play better. I think they win their first game. And I think he has the opportunity with an unsettled backfield where you don't know who's going to be the lead guy there. This is Adam Gase's chance to show that he can make Ryan Tannehill to a capable quarterback. Plus, he ran the ball last week, which was the best thing about his value in 2014. 6 carries for 35 yards. He is Miami's leading rusher right now.
Wow. And would you guys start Tannehill over Russell Wilson this week?
Yes. No.
I would not.
Would you start Tannehill over Jameis Winston?
Yes.
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 Would you drop Jameis Winston for Tannehill?
Yes.
If he was my number two guy, yeah.
Heath, you said no?
No, I wouldn't. Like, I still think there's a pretty likely chance that Winston's considerably better than Tannehill the rest of the year.
Yeah, but I think it's if you are just playing the
right.
streaming game.
Yeah, if you just have Brady and you're just trying to get through to him, right. then sure.
Who does Tampa play next? They've got the Rams this week, then the Broncos, then the Panthers, then a bye.
Yeah, worst schedule ever.
When are you using Jameis Winston in any of those games?
I don't hate you. Like, I'm starting Tannehill ahead of him, and I just moved him up in my rankings because I hadn't ranked him high enough this morning, but I don't hate Jameis.
Did you put him
week.
In your top 12?
No.
Tannehill's in my top 12.
Yeah, he's 13th for me. I think he's got the chance to be good.
I like Flacco a lot as well this week. I still have him one spot ahead of Tannehill. This Jacksonville defense, the whole Jacksonville's defense is going to be better, so they won't be playing from behind thing.
Hasn't
I think,
materialized.
Yeah. I don't think they're better.
But the funny thing is Bortles hasn't taken advantage of it. Which is so weird.
Well, I was still mad that he got the 2 fourth quarter touchdowns against the Chargers.
Oh, that's his game, buddy.
Yeah.
It's 2015 all over again.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And these guys basically are just Bradford, Fitzpatrick, Flacco, Tannehill. They're more streaming options. They're not guys that you have to have because they have huge upside. Fitzpatrick?
It depends on your quarterback situation. The one guy I think that people drafted to potentially be a starter that you're clearly moving on from right now is Kirk Cousins.
You know, I wouldn't drop him yet.
I would. He may lose
his
job.
You know who he plays in week 4?
I don't care. He may not be the starter for them.
If he is, he plays the Browns at home in week 4.
So yes. You'll pick him up then.
He has been
someone else
awful. And the way my problem is with that Browns matchup, if you've got Kirk Cousins as your quarterback and he's played the way he's played, even if he starts, just give the ball to Matt Jones because Matt Jones is good enough to beat the Browns.
I'm going to say no. I think Matt Jones stinks.
Yeah.
I think Matt Jones stinks too.
I'm dropping Cousins wherever I have him. And okay. I don't have him. But
I don't have him.
But if you did in an imaginary league?
Well, I'm telling people to drop him because they should.
Brock Osweiler still 64% owned. It's a little high. Can drop him. And I have some emails that I'm going to sprinkle into the podcast, position specific. This is from Dennis. Where's Dennis from?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hi, Mike.
Why can't he be from here?
Mike, T.Y., and Jarvis, the 3 receivers that lead the league in targets, apparently. Which one's...
Sure.
Who's Mike?
Evans.
He leads the league in targets? Yeah, that makes sense. He had a ton of them.
Ain't Wallace.
Yeah. I drafted Jameis Winston and Tyrod Taylor. Looking at their next 4 weeks, it's going to be tough for both Winston and Taylor. Who's a quarterback I can target to get me through the next month or so?
Flacco is one to go with because he's at Jacksonville, then Oakland at home, Washington at home, and at the Giants. There's no running game to speak of right now in Baltimore. So Flacco's got to do all the work.
He's on pace. Last year he was on pace for a career high in pass attempts. He's still on pace for a career high in pass attempts right now. Not going to be the same as it was a year ago, but he's on pace for, I think it's like 620 pass attempts, which would be a career high for him.
All right, this is from Kyle. I have Tyrod Taylor and Jameis Winston. Matt Ryan is available. What would you do?
Go get Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Drop Winston for Ryan.
Are you guys worried about dropping Winston that you're giving up on this a potential breakout at quarterback?
I just feel like his breakout is turning into Matt Ryan.
Okay, that's
fair. Like Matt Ryan is bouncing back in a pretty big way.
Yeah, Ryan's taking advantage of the start of his schedule. We'll see what happens. I'd sell high on Matt Ryan Sunday
after
night.
This week, right?
The minute Sunday night is over, you could have Matt Ryan.
You know why?
Tough
Carolina at Denver at Seattle weeks 4 through 6.
Yeah.
Now, can we just say, I don't know how good Carolina's pass defense is going to be this year.
I think
year.
Their corners are bad.
I like Ben Wickery, but I don't know if they're...
I think they're inexperienced.
Right.
I don't know if they're bad yet.
Okay. I think they're not... They're going to struggle this year at times.
Or what made Josh Norman Josh Norman.
Yeah.
Will make their young cornerbacks just the same way, which is great pressure up front.
Mm-hmm.
And putting you in down and distance, especially when time of possession is typically going to be in their favor. So you're throwing at the end of games, and that leads to typically turnovers. So we'll see.
Running backs. All right, so we did talk about these guys. McKinnon at Carolina, then the Giants, then Houston, and then a bye. Fozzie Whitaker would be number two for Jamie. Dwayne Washington would be number three. Matt Asiata, Shane Vereen, that's your top five. Jay Ajayi, Alfred Morris. Don't forget about him because Elliott did fumble twice. Morris came in, got that touchdown after Elliott's second fumble. Kenneth Dixon should be back fairly soon. Kenyon Drake, Dolphins running back. Cameron Artis Payne, Jordan Howard. So that's the list there for Jamie. I think let's do it like with the top five first. McKinnon, Fozzie, Dwayne Washington, Matt Asiata, Shane Vereen. Dave, give me your take, something that we haven't covered yet with these guys that you want to say.
I like McKinnon the best of the group, and then I'm just not sure how I feel about it for week three, but I know that my second favorite long-term running back is Kenneth Dixon of the Baltimore Ravens, because we're now 2 weeks in the season. That means we're 2 weeks closer to him coming back. I think that's a good offensive line. The passing game is establishing itself very well in Baltimore. When he comes back, he's got a red carpet to playing time. And if he does anything like we saw during the preseason, he's going to be the Ravens' lead running back for as long as he's healthy. So that would be the guy I would go after. And then I'm not sure who my third favorite rest of season running back is from this group.
I'm going to make the case for Fozzie Whitaker.
All right, and then I'll do it for Cameron Artis Payne.
Because I think if you look at McKinnon and Whitaker this week, they both have questionable situations. They both have bad matchups. I'm not going to want to start either one of them. I'm hoping that I don't start either one of them, but one of them kind of makes a case. But let's just say that Peterson and Stewart are both out for a month. McKinnon's going to face the Panthers, the Giants, the Texans, and a bye. Whitaker's going to face the Vikings, the Falcons, the Bucks, and the Saints. I like, if they're both getting the same workload, I like Whitaker's chances better.
Do you know that this was his first 100-yard game in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
And college?
I'd buy that.
Well, it's the fact.
Yeah. No, I'd buy that.
His first 100-yard game since high school. And he's 27 years old.
And there's a blowout win where he was the last running back.
But he's clearly better than probably Stewart and Artis Payne as a pass catcher.
Right.
And so that, I think, will help him because, again, as a play caller, it gives a different dimension to the offense.
And they've got some blowout wins coming up on their schedule, probably.
I don't know if they've got blowout wins coming up on their schedule. I think they're going to have a tough time with the Vikings. I think it could potentially be high scoring with the Falcons. Tampa Bay at home should be one of those. I think they end up, to me, that's the first game where Artis Payne looks really good. And then at New Orleans, I think he's going to be there too. And I look at Artis Payne as a guy who's more similar to Jonathan Stewart, whereas Fozzie Whitaker, definitely the flashier of the two. And the 100-yard game is going to get him a lot of extra attention, but he's been in the league a long time. And in college, too. He's never done anything like this before.
Right.
Not that Cameron Artis Payne is going to go out there and light the world on fire and run for 100 yards, but he's probably the closest thing they've got to Jonathan Stewart. And the reason why they kept him inactive.
I would say Tolbert's the closest thing they have to Jonathan Stewart.
I think Artis Payne's a little faster. And I think he looked better in the preseason. And Rivera said it's going to be a combination of three guys. They like what Artis Payne can do as far as, you know, plant a leg and go. They like Fozzie Whitaker for change of pace and catching the ball in the backfield. And they like Mike Tolbert for his dancing belly in the end zone.
It wasn't good
last
year.
And really for his toughness.
It wasn't good for fantasy owners last year.
And that's the whole point, is that if there's going to be three guys in the mix plus a running quarterback, it's hard to get behind any one of these guys.
Yeah, but I think you look at Whitaker's that does something different than the other guys don't.
So, we can't overlook Dwayne Washington in Detroit.
Agreed.
We can't overlook Kenyon Drake. We can't overlook Matt Asiata. But is Dwayne Washington the best of that group? They're very unowned. They're like 4%, 1% owned.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
If Abdul is out for the year, the Lions' philosophy is pretty much two running backs at all times.
Right.
And so Washington's going to pick up a lot of work.
Yeah. And most of the goal line work.
Yeah, wow.
Unless they make Zenner active.
Well, Zenner would be the next man up behind Washington. So
I'm going to try to
me,
get
I
him.
Think Washington might be the third best guy rest of season to go get, and he might be – like you're in the miraculous situation where you don't have to cover an injury and you can just go and splurge on a player and Dixon's already owned and you don't get McKinnon. I think Washington's the guy to get.
Oh, I would take Washington over Dixon right now.
Just because he's healthy now.
Yeah.
Okay. How much, I think I already asked you how much fab you'd spend on Kenyon Drake, but let's compare like what you'd spend on Jay Ajayi, who's 63% owned, and what you'd spend on Kenyon Drake, just to get an idea of how much you like these two guys.
5% at most.
I'm not going over 10 on Ajayi, even though he's got work coming this week.
I mean, Ajayi fumbled in the game against New England. I just don't think Adam Gase likes any of these guys.
I think he can kind of get behind Drake, though, because he's got a lot of what you guys see in Fozzie Whitaker. He's got a lot of sizzle, some juice to his game. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Well, and he chose to bring Kenyon Drake there.
Yes.
Can he pass protect?
I think Drake's I would spend $2 on both guys, and I would put Drake ahead of Ajayi.
Wow, okay. All right, so, and Jordan Howard is another guy that's got some long-term upside.
Could be short-term upside, too.
Could be short-term upside.
That's another one.
I feel like I'm going to want the... I do want McKinnon. I definitely want McKinnon, but I feel like I'm going to want kind of the long shots this week. You know,
I feel the same way.
The upside.
There is definitely a chance you can get two guys from this group if you do it the right way.
All right.
So depending on where you are in waivers or how much fab you want to spend.
Here are some running back emails, or here's one anyway. It's from Steve in a town in North Dakota that's not Fargo.
Minot. Yeah, Minot. Thank you.
There you go.
Why not go with Minot?
Dear Bridgewater, Roosevelt, and the One Piece lingerie. Is there a teddy? Like, those are teddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. 10-team quarter PPR, 0.25 PPR. Great. I have Hyde, Langford, Yeldon, Derrick Henry, and Kristen Michael. Hyde, Langford, Yeldon, Derrick Henry, and Kristen Michael. Would you drop any of them for Isaiah Crowell, Jerick McKinnon, Fozzie Whitaker, or Alfred Morris? Would you drop Henry for Crowell? Would you drop Henry for McKinnon? Would you drop Kristen Michael? What do you think? What do you think, guys?
Man, I think you got to drop Henry for Crowell, don't you?
100%.
And for McKinnon.
I don't know if I'd go there.
It depends. If we get news today that Peterson's absence is X amount of weeks, then yes, you do that for sure. I would drop Michael for McKinnon.
See, I
don't know.
I've been really interested to see the split of carries this week in Seattle, because Rawls has been bad so far. He's like,
the fumble's going to hurt Michael.
You can't drop Christian Michael. I mean, we talked about this. I really felt like Thomas Rawls was one of the most likely running backs to get injured again, and he already did. He's too violent, he's too physical, and he's too small for it. And I think Michael is. He's one guy I'd want to stash, put it that way. Does that make sense? You guys?
Sure. No, I feel that way. That's how I feel.
That's not how you feel, or it is?
It is how I feel.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, thanks, Dave.
We are in agreement. Lockstep, arm in arm.
Drop list for Jamie, Duke Johnson, Justin Forsett. You guys have any issues dropping these two guys? Yes? No?
I don't have any issues dropping Forsett.
Yeah.
I hate giving up on Duke, but it makes sense.
Duke is making you puke.
Duke is making me puke.
Puke Johnson. Wide receivers. Dante Moncrief. I can't believe I just said that about
him. You know what? If he's so bad, we've got to call him by his first name, his real first name.
What is it?
Randy.
Oh, that's right. That's why you're Big Kane One. Good for you. All right. Priority list for Jamie. Devontae Parker, 65% owned. He got 13 targets. I think Kenny Stills had what? Like 2 targets? 4 targets?
I'll tell you.
4 targets. 2 catches on 4 targets.
But Stills actually played 4 more snaps than Parker.
Yeah, Stills is the last guy on Jamie's priority list. You could still add him. He's 18%. So, Devontae Parker, Victor Cruz, Tyrell Williams, Philip Dorsett. Let's go with those four first. Devontae Parker, Victor Cruz, Tyrell Williams, Philip Dorsett. That's how Jamie has him ranked this week. Heath, give me your take on those four.
I think I'd put them in that order. I might go Dorsett over Williams.
I would. And the only reason I did it like that is because you know Williams' role is locked in for the rest of the season.
Right.
And Dorsett could still go back to the third guy when Moncrief is off.
That's true.
And that's the only reason I did it like that.
Cruz Parker, I feel like, is one where it's almost a push. If I knew what Parker was going to do this week in a game where they weren't down by 28 in the first half, then I might be more set on Parker, but I'd almost take Cruz. I'd put the same exact bid number in for Cruz and Parker.
You know what's funny is Odell Beckham has never scored a touchdown on the same field with Victor Cruz.
Well, he should have. Yes,
he should have and has.
That's become your go-to move.
Well, he should have
scored a touchdown.
Well, what's interesting is
we found Odell's kryptonite, and it's Victor Cruz.
I guess. I mean,
it's salsa.
It's very interesting.
He's also never scored a touchdown with Sterling Shepard, too. To be fair,
do they have the best wide receivers in football?
Now I still take the Cardinals over them.
Now that John Brown's disappeared, I guess Jerron Brown replaced him though. So
Jay Brown,
okay.
All he needs is one Jay Brown.
Can we just get points for all Jay Brown under one player?
I'm not sure the Colts don't have better wide receivers too. I mean, I like all three of those guys.
You could go TQB, TRB, and just Jay Brown.
Yes, Jay Brown.
All right. So how badly do you want these guys? Parker Cruz, Tyra Williams, Philip Dorsett. Are they must adds?
The nice thing about it is if you're on waivers, everybody's chasing running backs.
Right.
And so these guys will sneak through to the fourth, fifth, sixth spot, depending on most teams' needs. So it could be a good week if you're looking at, you know, stashing or even potentially looking at a starter, you know, because there's still people that lost Keenan Allen and picked up Eli Rogers. They may want to get rid of him at this point. You know, I forget all the big names from last week that didn't come through, but, you know, you may be looking at still being able to sneak through one of those top four guys.
Can I say one thing on Tyrell Williams?
Was it that his touchdown catch was amazing?
Besides that, it's the second week in a row Philip Rivers lost one of his security blankies.
Yep.
Like if he were Linus in the Peanuts, he would be crying to Sally all throughout the comic strip because he lost his security blankie two weeks in a row.
Can I do it?
So now Tyrell Williams, I think, is going to end up being a guy that gets even more targets than what he would have had before because Woodhead's not there.
Right.
So, I've got a crush on Devontae Parker. He's probably going to be the first guy I go after on waivers. Williams is second.
Can I do a team name Tuesday?
Yeah, oh, please.
You better call Tyrell.
I don't get that.
You don't know the song, Erykah Badu?
What are you talking about, Heath?
Tyrone?
Well, I don't know. You're just saying names now.
I don't think this is popular
Smith?
As you're making it out to me.
Yes.
Jim, Pete?
somebody got it, and they're going to think it was great, and they're going to tweet at me. So I'll look forward to that.
Okay, good. Most rest of season upside: Parker, Cruz, Williams, Dorsett.
Parker,
then Williams, and then I don't even know if Cruz or Dorsett would be third.
I was still reeling from my team name, so I didn't even hear the question.
one caveat here: if we find out today Dante Moncrief, well, guys, if we find out today Dante Moncrief is going to miss, you know, three or more weeks, does Philip Dorsett become your number one waiver wire wide receiver?
Yeah, that might have to happen. Yeah.
Okay. Corey Coleman. By the way, Mike Wallace is not on this list. He's 70% owned. He's a little bit too owned for the column. But would you put any of those guys that we just mentioned before we get to Coleman and the rest? Would you put any of them ahead of Mike Wallace?
Parker.
Maybe Williams too. Cause he just, part of me wants to buy into Mike Wallace, but it's Mike Wallace. And I know like his history where he just vanishes. So I don't want to rely. If I'm adding Mike
when
Wallace,
you say his history post Pittsburgh.
Sure. That's fair to say.
And this is his best quarterback since post Pittsburgh.
And he had a good year with the Dolphins.
Well, he had 10 touchdowns, but it wasn't necessarily a great year.
Right. I'll take Parker and Cruz over Wallace, but I'd take him over everyone else.
Alrighty. Corey Coleman, Quincy Enunwa, Anquan Boldin, and Kenny Stills. Now, the interesting thing here, Jamie, is that Coleman, and you didn't lump these four together, I did, so I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Coleman, though, 62% owned. The rest of them are less than 20% owned. Coleman, Enunwa, Boldin, and Stills. Do you see a big separation between Coleman and the other three?
Yeah. I mean, Coleman is just going to be dealing with bad quarterback play, and then Josh Gordon's back in 2 weeks.
Well, the Jets wide receivers are a little banged up. Anunua's been good 2 weeks in a row.
He's banged up too, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's still interesting.
Oh, for sure.
He's all right. Stash.
Anything that you guys want to say here? Heath, you want to weigh in on these four guys?
I think it's funny that there was a, like, 20-minute span of time on Thursday night where Quincy Enunwa was going to be the number one waiver wire ad. No
yeah,
question.
Right.
And now there's like 18 guys in front of him.
Yeah. Who's this guy, Enunwa, again? Now you can get him on your second run-through waivers.
Yeah.
Like you'll get a running back first or Devontae Parker first and then Enunwa second. If Golden Tate continues to suck, Anquan's going to get more targets.
Anquan's been much better than him so far this year.
Yes.
I got a team name for you, Heath. Quincy Jones. All right.
That's PPR. Not my fault that you never heard good music.
Deep PPR options. Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley, you know, he dropped a touchdown in week one. He got an end zone target in week two and had a pass interference called. So he's 14% owned and seems to be a favorite of Dak Prescott's. Jamison Crowder, Kenny Britt, Marquise Lee, Adam Humphreys, Beasley to me, far and away the best on this list. Am I on to something there? Am I off base?
No, but I think Crowder has another good game this week against the Giants because that's where they've been vulnerable. Beasley week one, Snead week two.
Beasley is actually tied for the Cowboys team lead in targets. He has the team lead in catches and receiving yards.
I think it's just obvious that Prescott likes the underneath stuff, and that's Beasley's thing.
Hey, he's taking what the defense gives him.
Yeah. On the drop list, Tavon Austin, Kevin White, Vincent Jackson. Heath, are you ready to give up on Vincent Jackson? Would you drop him for Devontae Parker? Would you drop Jackson for Tyrell Williams?
It makes me sad, but yes.
Yeah, what's up with what's going
on? Okay, man? You're being honest. It's good. Honesty is the best policy.
Very strange.
I like it. I don't know. Yeah.
Definitely for Cruz. Definitely for Parker. I'm not sure about Tyrell.
Really?
After you guys. I mean, if I can't use the team nickname Call Tyrell, no. Then I don't know why I'd want to add him.
Okay,
you
so...
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Wide receiver... very good. Wide receiver emails from Colin. Is John Brown droppable in PPR?
You know, it's funny. I had a list of a bunch of other receivers, and John Brown was at the top of it in terms of the drop list. But I still think I'd go pick him up.
Yep.
Among the other... Like, if it was between Corey Coleman and John Brown at this point, I'd probably still pick up John Brown if both were available.
Yep.
From Robert, would you drop Josh Gordon for Mike Wallace?
No way.
No.
No chance.
No.
You've already invested 2 weeks of waiting for Josh Gordon to come back.
Yeah.
And now you'll get him with Cody Kessler.
Yeah. And tight ends. Not a lot of injuries here, just Virgil Green. Well, we do have Gronkowski and Zach Ertz, so I guess there are injuries. Dennis Pitta, 11% owned. All right, let's just stop right there since you guys love Pitta. The other names on the list are Rudolph, James, Tammy, Walford, Vance McDonald, Trey Burton, but Pitta... All right, Jamie, what are your expectations now for Dennis Pitta? He has, again, good matchups for the Ravens, the Jaguars, the Raiders, although, no, they haven't been that good against, they were good against Fleener. Whatever. Washington and at the Giants. Give me your expectations for Pitta.
Let's be clear.
Not the Saints.
They're only bad against pass catching tight ends.
Yeah, right. Not pass dropping tight ends.
I hate Jacoby Fleener. Look, Dennis Pitta's the favorite target for Joe Flacco when he's healthy. And, you know, it's amazing that he's bounced back from this hip injury after a year and a half and things have just sort of fallen in line with him. Ben Watson getting hurt. No real threat outside of Mike Wallace asserting themselves in this passing attack. And so, you know, you've seen Flacco's history. He's been a tight end dependent quarterback and Mark Trestman has used the tight end in his offense as well. So, the targets last week were amazing. Hopefully that keeps up. And as long as Pitt is healthy, I think he could be a number one tight end for you the rest of the season.
The targets last week were very good for Pitta, but the week before he had 3 catches, 39 yards on 4 targets. And
it was his first
he also had missed most of the preseason with a broken finger and hadn't played in a year and a half.
I know, but he played Cleveland, you know, like he just played Cleveland.
He gets to play Jacksonville next.
And Jacksonville gave up a touchdown to Gates. So I think you could buy into Pitta being worth starting this week. It's funny because almost, I think every single sleeper tight end we mentioned last week did something of significance.
Yeah.
Whether it was Rudolph scoring, Jesse James scoring, Clyde Walford scoring, Pitta having a big day, and Vance McDonald coming through with a big touchdown. So, it's nice to see that you can stream the position and get good production out of it.
Dave, is there a tight end that you like better than Pitta?
For this week?
In all of the ball.
Or overall.
either way you want to frame it.
I still like Walford. I still like his matchup this week. He's going up against Tennessee, and I think he's going to continue to be that red zone target for the Raiders.
Would you drop Fleener for Walford? That was one I had trouble with this week.
I feel like Steve Buscemi. I'm laying back in my, Billy Madison, where he lays back after making his hit list and then putting lipstick on and contemplating life. I I just kicked back in my chair and looked up at the ceiling to think about Fleener versus Walford. Really, it's more about dropping Fleener to commit to streaming tight ends. And after 2 weeks, yeah, I think Fleener has sucked. So into the stream I go.
Yeah, wow. Fleener, see, I could see dropping Gary Barnage. Because now with his quarterback hurt, could be bad. I guess I'm still hopeful for Fleener, and I'm trying not to overreact. I don't know if it's overreacting, but I still see a guy who, like I said, plays all the time. He gets all the targets for the tight ends for New Orleans. I mean, he is the guy. And it's only his second game with the team, so maybe he's still not quite comfortable yet. I'm not dropping Fleener.
Somebody brought up a good point on Twitter last night that he's basically been in the same offense since he got out of high school, right? Like, what? He hasn't had to learn new offenses.
Right, because he went to Stanford.
Yep. Right.
Stanford runs the same offense as the Saints?
No, Stanford runs the Colts ran the same offense as Stanford because it was
right,
the same.
Right, right, but not the Saints.
So this is his first new That's offense to learn learned, since
right.
college.
Right.
Wait,
and
did
I
they
think
learn
that...
a new offense this year in Indianapolis? Not that Kobe's there.
They learned a new offense in the middle of last season when
Right. What's so right. Inspired? It's the point is still the same. Fleener's been in the same offense.
That was much more complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah.
All right, other tight ends real quick, guys. We're running out of time. Kyle Rudolph.
You go to college after high school? What?
Kyle Rudolph, Jesse James, Jacob Tammy, Clive Walford. Tammy, by the way, caught a touchdown last week. He also was thrown to in the end zone when Matt Ryan was intercepted by David Amerson, and he's at New Orleans. Clive Walford.
Matt Ryan was intercepted in the red zone.
Vance McDonald, Trey Burton. So who else do you like? Who has long-term potential on this list?
Especially in PPR, I think we probably underrated Tammy coming into this year. And he's been just as good as he was last year.
Which wasn't good.
In PPR, he wasn't terrible. I mean, he was a lot, but we didn't rank him in our top 20 tight ends, and he was, what, 15th, 14th in PPR?
Just worried, though, that the Falcons, we got one more week of the Falcons being good, and then after that, it's just going to be fool's gold.
Like,
I don't know that's
you just
necessarily
think they're,
the case, but.
They could be bad and lose games, and Ryan could not be as good, but they're still going to be behind and throwing the ball a ton. And when they've been behind and throwing the ball a ton, Tammy's gotten targets.
All right. Who else?
He's in the conversation. Look, he's got 16 targets through two games. That's hard to overlook.
That is hard. What about who's got more potential, Walford or Tammy?
I'd go Tammy, especially in PPR.
Tammy has more long-term potential.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
And this week against the Saints.
To me, they're 1-2, Walford then Tammy for this week.
Yeah. Who do you like this week overall? Who's Pitta your favorite this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not mine.
Who?
Walford. Then Tammy, then Pitt.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Kyle Rudolph, been pretty involved. 8 targets both games at Carolina, then the Giants, then Houston, then a bye. Not a great schedule. How do you feel about Walford? Rudolph.
I like him too. I mean, Bradford's history suggests leaning on tight end. You look at if they can't run the ball, they're going to be throwing a hell of a lot more if McKinnon and Asiata don't get going.
Right.
And for what it's worth, the Panthers almost gave up a touchdown to a tight end in week one. They gave up one in week two, how fluky it may have been to Vance McDonald. But this is a secondary that's still in flux. So Rudolph, I think, is going to still be the second most targeted player for the Vikings and still have the chance to deliver. He's been very good through 2 weeks.
Tight end emails. Would you drop Gary Barnidge for Dennis Pitta or Jacob Tammy?
For Pitta, yes.
Yeah.
I drop him for both.
Yeah.
From Corey, should I trade Barnidge for your Fleener, PPR?
Sounds like a team name.
Yeah, I would do that.
I would do that, too, because what have you got to lose?
I mean, how could you make a case for Barnidge and not for Fleener?
Well, we could look at what Barnidge did last year.
What did Barnidge do this week? He hasn't done anything so far in 2 games. Neither has Fleener.
I understand. I guess how I could make a case. The case would be 2015.
I'm sorry. I can't accept it.
You overrated? Like, it's just not,
throwing this case
not
out.
Not valid. Okay.
All right, DSTs, we like the Dolphins, we like the Giants, we like the Bengals. They're 61% owned against Denver. Heath, what was the other team you liked?
I like the Bucks.
The Bucks. All right, and give me some defenses you would start them over.
I was not prepared for that question, so I'm
That's
trying
fine.
To get there.
Check the rankings. Kickers, Matt Bryan at New Orleans, Josh Brown against Washington, and Josh Lambeau at Indianapolis. And that's our waiver wire show. Let's read a few emails to finish things off at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from John in Jayhawk country. He says, please preserve family honor. I'm the commissioner of a family league with both my oldest son and my wife. They want to make a fair trade that won't make Thanksgiving unnecessarily awkward. My son has depth at wide receiver but needs a running back. My wife has depth at running back but is thin at wide receiver. Can you tell us what the most fair one-for-one trade would be out of this group? This is fun, right? All right.
Oh, it's a blast.
My son has AJ Green, Cooper, Marvin Jones, Willie Snead, and Jarvis Landry. My wife has Todd Gurley, CJ Anderson, Melvin Gordon, Isaiah Crowell, and DeAndre Washington. Make a 1-for-1 swap.
Crowell for Landry?
Oh, that, I don't know if I would do that. No, would you rather have Landry? Like, wouldn't everybody rather have Landry?
You've got A.J. Green, Amari Cooper, Marvin Jones, and Willie Snead. You're never starting Landry.
It's your fifth receiver. It's not even. C.J. Anderson for Amari Cooper feels even to me.
C.J. Anderson for A.J. Green also. That's a stud running back for a stud wide receiver.
Green for Anderson.
If you can get Cooper, or if you can get Anderson for Cooper, I would do that.
Anderson Cooper, I love it. I'd make that trade 360 days out of the year.
Or try to trade maybe Willie Snead for Gordon.
What about Gurley for Cooper? That's the second best running back.
We're not helping.
The second best wide receiver.
Do Anderson Cooper 360 and have fun with that. Terry in Indianapolis. This is stupid, guys. Our tiebreaker in our league is bench points.
It's somehow getting stupider than what we just had.
I like that. I thought that was a cool email. Family
fantasy.
We
played match
league?
Game.
All right. Tiebreaker is bench points. Two teams were tied going into Monday night. Team A is finished for the week. Team B's bench is down 18 points going into last night, but had Darren Sproles. Team B dropped Sproles to pick up Cutler to try to get the 18 points. There is outrage in our league. Was this move ethical?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
He's trying to win.
Well, that's a dumb tiebreaker. Bench.
Oh, I had the dumbest tiebreaker in the history of tiebreakers.
What?
I got knocked out of a fantasy baseball league on a different site because the playoff tiebreaker was your head-to-head record during the season against that person.
What do you think it should have been?
It should be the top seed gets the home field advantage.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But what do you do during the regular season when there aren't any seeds? What's the tiebreaker?
In this format, you just have ties.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. What's wrong with a tie?
Yeah, just have a tie.
You just can't have that in the playoffs.
That's it for the show. That's Fantasy Football Today, everybody.
Thank you very much for listening. You want to answer Lewis's question?
I like Lewis's question. I kind of feel like we'll save it for tomorrow. Does that work?
It's up to you.
It's getting pretty long. I don't want to do an hour and 5 minutes today.
And now it's time for Adam Azer to wrap up the podcast.
I can't do it. These have gotten so bad.
Whose fault is that?
They're hard.
This started because they were so bad. They haven't gotten so bad.
But they were bad but good at the same time. Like, at least they were entertaining. Now they just suck. All right, I'll work on one for tomorrow. For Heath, Dave, and Jamie, I'm Adam. See you later.